This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour three, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Baseball talk coming up here at 4:20. We'll go around the Rangers. Game six, hockey tomorrow. Ralph Strangels will join us. That's after the Rangers game. We'll have day baseball tomorrow, their series finale with the A's. Pregame coming up 6:30. It's Evaldi on the Hill today, Mally tomorrow. Here's the Chief with an edition of Football's Finest.
Couple of housekeeping notes. Cowboys have waived offensive lineman Jack Anderson and Earl Bostic. Also running back Malik Davis and linebacker Brock Mogensen. Not household names, but they're trying to whittle this thing down to 90 or so. And that's how they got it done. We saw the Falcons get fined today, $250K for the prank call disaster. And Nate Tice pointed out, over the past decade, the Falcons have been fined $350K and a fifth round pick for illegal crowd noise. They had $100K to head coach for injury report violation on Bijan Robinson, $250K and a fifth round pick for tampering with Kirk Cousins, and now another $250K plus $100K to the DC for prank call. So they're on
an epic
decade long run.
Figure it out, guys.
Hemorrhaging dollars.
And Arthur Blank encourages you to continue to shop at Home Depot.
That's right. That's right.
Go out there and get your siding and your paint and your paintbrushes and everything else.
He's making up
for us. So he can pay for these fines.
All the cheap concessions are paying off too for him. That's how he's trying to make up some ground on all these fines.
Yeah, you know, I feel bad for the coach because you just left your iPad out and your idiot kid did it and now you got to pay $100,000. But you've got to have some accountability somewhere to discourage this thing and to increase the awareness of how important this private information is.
By the way, Shedeur Sanders now does have the best-selling jersey in the draft class, according to Fanatics. So it was only a matter of time.
Is he wearing the number two?
Yeah, I believe so. I haven't actually seen the jersey, but I do see from Fanatics
that
it
last,
is the...
The last quarterback, first-round quarterback... he went to first-round, but the last quarterback that... I don't even know what I'm talking about here.
Go ahead.
I was thinking of Tim Couch wore number two.
Oh, yeah.
First overall pick, right? But Sanders was a fifth round pick. And I was trying to think of one of those 75 other quarterbacks they had might have worn number two. I'm not sure of that. I probably could have looked that up before I made that statement.
Well, I did see from Darren Revelle, two NFL players over the past 15 years have filed to trademark something with money associated with their names before they were drafted.
Oh, the dollar sign with the two?
Yeah. Johnny Manziel and Shedeur Sanders, both taken by the Browns.
Yeah.
They understand it, man. They get it.
You know, I think the most impressive thing I saw today was when Ulbrich was talking about it. He said he called the Sanders family so we could apologize, and the family, Shedeur and coach, were amazingly gracious, more gracious than they needed to be. You know, I just think that part of this story has been amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot has been said about Dion and Shedeur and a lot of their personality traits, but when it comes to like walking with the grace of God through this adversity, I think they knocked it out of the park, Brian.
Well,
I couldn't agree more, by the way, it's been super impressive. Because
I totally
and the big brother is hilarious.
Oh, yes.
He kept everybody up in good spirits.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you on that. Sanders, though, is a legend with the Atlanta Falcons. So there might be a little bit of that, you know.
Forgiving
for the team that made him who he was. I mean, he made himself who he was, but he was drafted by the Falcons and still has that, probably that, you know. That
he turned Atlanta out.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. He did the same thing to Dallas,
so
too.
So he probably feels like a little bit of like, hey, thank you, but I, you know, but they're very gracious people. I think they are. I think it's unfortunate. I think that kid should have got picked a lot higher than he did. I know I sat there on my board. We were having the draft, you know, 3 days of the draft, and you're like,
I was waiting for you to go full Mel Kiper on the draft show.
Like, who's your highest rated player? And it got to the point where I'm like, if you want me to keep saying Shedeur Sanders, I'll keep saying it. But, you know, it was that part of it was, I think, really unfortunate. And yeah, you know, I think there were some teams that, you know, I think the interview process was weighed a lot. They get weighed a lot on these teams.
Mm-hmm. You know? There's a lot that goes into it. I think maybe the interview is part of it for some people. I think as well, like, you're going to draft a guy whose dad, if the kid's good, dad's coming for your job.
Head coach wants to draft a guy whose dad is going to come for your job.
If the kid can play, he will take your job.
No question.
The only way you keep your job is if the kid sucks.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you had coaches that were thinking along those lines as well.
I'll say this about the interview part. I don't believe it's the interview of talking to him as a person, like, you know, hey, how's it going? And, you know, kind of getting the bottom. I don't think that was the problem. I think that teams were worried about his ability to process things, you know, for a quarterback. How fast was he able to process things? And I think that's one of the things that, like, teams are like, well, we can't put a lot on his plate. I think that's what ultimately got him. I don't think it. Like, but like you
didn't
said,
the Giants lay some stuff out on him, and he was like, I can't
that,
identify
that
this.
Right there is crap.
And then he kind of snapped back what they allegedly said. He snapped back a little bit.
That is crap, man. You cannot let that stuff get out. Mm. You can't do that. That right there is absolute BS. You know, those things that happen in those meetings when you put a kid on the board and you ask him to, you know, you don't know this about a player. You know, you don't know if. There might be some things. I remember dealing with players that were dyslexic, and you're asking them to do things on the board, and it doesn't come off, and they're struggling, and you're like, man, this kid doesn't know how to read, or he doesn't know he might be dyslexic, and you find out things about him like that. But, you know, to let that get out, that right there, the Giants should get fined for that. You know, that's crap right there. Those meetings you have with those kids, you're not there to try and embarrass the kid. You're trying to get to know what he can he, if I call a play, can he call it back to me? Can he draw can he put the nickel in place? Can he, hey, draw me your best play. What's the one play that you love to run? And, you know, and you get them up there and they explain it and all that. But some of those kids just can't do that. This kid right here, he plays on a ton of feel. And it's the poise and the moxie and stuff. So if you're asking him to be Andrew Luck, that ain't his game. His game is going out there and kind of playing it loose and free and all that. But if teams were dinging him because they don't feel like he's smart enough, football smart enough, well, that's probably why they got him, you know. That's probably
yeah, and I think that one was less about he couldn't do it and more they felt like he didn't prepare for it.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, this was given to you to be ready for the...
Did they give him the information beforehand?
That's how it came across to me, where Dable's like, you didn't prep for this at all.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things, but...
Okay. Well, then, to me... If
but the fact that it got out is probably fair to say. Whoever leaked that is a bleep.
That's the biggest bunch of BS that I've ever seen right there. Those meetings you have with those kids should not get out like that. That should not be part of this.
Imagine if the Giants were on Hard Knocks offseason like they were last year, and we were seeing Jaden Daniels on the board. And imagine if you had the clip of Shedeur on the board there for Hard Knocks.
Listen, if you determine that a kid is... You don't feel like he has the aptitude. That's fine. Keep it to yourself and then move on that way. But don't embarrass the kid that way.
I think this was, you know, what something that I think NFL teams are going to probably get more comfortable with in the coming years is that we now have players that don't need the NFL. I made $6 million last year. So I'm kind of interviewing you. You're interviewing me. This is an informal get together. But guess what? I got options. So do you like how I played in college? Draft me. If you don't, and I don't know how many college players are going to have that much financial security when they arrive, but you take one who's also the son of Dion and is carrying that amount of confidence, you know, and approached the draft combine similarly. Deion maybe overvalued his kid and thought, my kid's that good. He can have that sort of personality around the combine as well, maybe.
Yes, I'm with that. I believe that.
Yeah. So
the marketing machine of Deion, I think, caught everybody by storm at one time.
If that came
with the cachet of Shador.
Yeah. If you don't want the Hollywood quarterback, as Bill Parcells would say, I get it. But, man, I'll tell you what, that kid has got a lot of talent. I mean, a lot of talent.
It's a score.
He can take a lick, too.
Yeah, he is as tough and tough-minded, and the fact that he grew up in the spotlight the way he did, you could do far worse. I think some teams did far worse than passing over him.
Yeah, I think the Cleveland Browns ultimately get lucky that they were able to, you know,
and this might be the owner stepping in. This might be Jimmy Haslam stepping in saying, enough.
Take him.
That we're not, you know, we're not, this slide is over. You know, this is over.
By the looks of that war room, I think you're right.
Yeah, they blame that they were tired.
And he's smiling when we get the news of the most, the number one jersey. You know, I mean, that was 100%. Worst case scenario for the owner, you cash out that way from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
But yeah, the coach and the GM, they didn't all look super thrilled in that moment. I don't know how much we can read into that, but definitely that is a common thought right now, is that was an ownership move to say, hey, go get this guy right now. They traded up for him.
Yeah. Was there any buzz that maybe the Cowboys were getting ready to do something like that at all?
I heard that there was some talk that Jerry was in the room bringing it up. Not that they were trade, but I was starting to hear through some of the things that they were having discussions. And it maybe wasn't discussions like, oh, we're going to take him, but, you know, hey, what's the deal here kind of discussions. Yeah.
Okay, so it has been a pretty tough day for some former quarterbacks. We'll start with John Elway. This story is super sad.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what to think about it, because basically John Elway was golfing with his longtime agent, business partner, good friend, who's in his early 60s.
62.
Yeah.
They were
with their wives. Wow. They were golfing, and Elway was driving the golf cart, and his buddy falls off the golf cart and has died.
Hit his head on the pavement.
Yeah. My goodness. I've had a couple of close calls not falling out of a golf cart, but I could definitely see that how that happens. You go out to the fairway to hit your shot, then you got to go back to get on the path. And when it's 90-degree rules, you fly straight at that path perpendicular, and then you yank it left or right to get back on. Yeah. And if you're not paying attention, maybe hanging onto the OS bar or have balance with your feet, I could see an older gentleman going out. Maybe doesn't have the core strength to keep himself upright quite as well. Next thing you know, I hope
alcohol wasn't involved.
Yes.
Maybe two guys, and the guilt for
Elway would be overwhelming, I think, if you had contributed to the death of one of your buddies because you had too much to drink on the golf course.
Yeah, you both were kind of driving back to the, you know, trying to get back to the house, and you try to avoid something, and your buddy falls out.
That's two in a row. Didn't we have a draft prospect last month or something?
Scadaboo.
That got hurt, yeah. He hurt his buddy.
He hurt his buddy, yeah, but obviously not to this extent. An absolutely crazy, heartbreaking story. John Elway has to feel awful no matter what. I mean, being behind the wheel when your buddy ends up falling off and dying, I don't know how that happens. You painted a pretty obvious picture of how it could have happened. Even just like if you're all sitting in there, you're not expecting to take off yet, and you kind of go from 0 to 60, super quick kind of deal, and it just jolts you fall out. But like you said, head to concrete
is not a good
why they got the kids with helmets on their bikes these days, because it only takes like 15 miles an hour, fall down from 3 feet onto the hard road, it can happen.
So we'll continue to see what happens here, but our heart goes out to the gentleman, his family, Elway and his family right now. That's a crazy situation. And then on the other side of things, another former quarterback, Mr. Favre, the first trailer for The Fall of Favre has been released by Netflix. It's going to release entirely on Netflix on May the 20th. But listen to the teaser. This is not going to be something that is going to be very flattering for number four.
Everybody wish they could be an NFL quarterback. You get all the notoriety. You know, you get paid all the money.
Brett Favre was a cult-like, iconic figure.
People say he was a football god.
There are a lot of reasons why you might question Brett Favre's inner goodness.
Allegations that he sent lewd texts and photos to a New York Jet employee.
Brett Favre ultimately destroyed my life.
In the life of Brett Favre, not everything is what it seems.
He starts to go through life thinking, I can do whatever I want. At what level does that stop? I was at a game and someone said Brett Favre wanted my phone number. And I just kept saying no. I started getting text messages. And then I started getting voicemails when I was like, oh, I'm in serious trouble here.
Martha, I had to come over tonight.
Maybe we shouldn't be surprised that he got caught up in a federal welfare disappropriation scandal.
You take money intended for the poorest. I don't know how he sleeps at night.
People don't want most of that stuff to come out. People want their heroes.
When someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Ooh. That is not going to be... No. A pro Favre documentary in any way. We always wonder about some of these things. This is definitely a truth telling. Oh bleep! If you're Brett,
genius to play that on Wolchuk's day off. By the way, that would have been like 96 flapjacks right there. I think by my count.
Yeah. Stay hungry.
We should get him to call in right now. I think he's practicing his haka dance, but he could maybe call in.
Well, that's terrific. I think this story deserves more spotlight on it. You know, I just I think it's been slept on a little bit. Like the text right here is a good point. Why is he not in prison? I think that's another good point. You stole tens of millions of dollars.
Absolutely, yeah. Should be. Yeah.
We'll go around the Rangers here. Top stories of your baseball team that broke out offensively last night. That's coming up next year. It's the G-Bag.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nation, the fan. All right, welcome back, Nation. It's time now for your Around the Rangers segment here. Pregame coming up at 6:30. Astros just lost to the Tigers. So that puts them at 16-14 on the year. Game and a half back of Seattle and a tie with your second place Texas Rangers now. Seattle playing some pretty good baseball.
Yeah, Seattle's in a day tilt with the Angels right now. I think they're up 2-1, 3-2, something like that. I just was kind of checking out some of the highlights here.
Rangers getaway game is tomorrow against the A's, and the pregame at 1 o'clock. The first pitch at 1:30 here on the Fan. We'll probably jump on about 4:30 or 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Start talking sports with you. Segment here brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out of pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels. Go to frankelfirm.com, principal office, Dallas, Texas. Okay, CY said yesterday, before their breakout 15-run game, it was glorious, got all the pitchers out of there, tuned up a position player who's pretty cheeky there in the bottom of the eighth. But CY, before the game, was talking with reporters and said, I'm on edge, rightfully so, right? That's when somebody is ticked off, they're irritated, and they're like, for good reason. Okay, so don't mess with me right now. And he said he was ready for more drastic changes if necessary. Mm. Did the Rangers players probably get wind of this or hear a similar message in a separate meeting? Possibly. All I know is that CY is an absolute brilliant GM. I love that we are reading this here before we even get out of the month of April. Right? We're absolutely. Two games over 500, and CY's like, I'm on edge for good reason. And I'm not going to hide behind a record or results. Dude just doesn't mess around.
No.
And I think CY could do a better job of running the Cowboys without any football knowledge. Just put his accountability and work ethic and standards, really. Yeah. Just have some damn standards.
I think his ability to quickly identify a problem and not allow it just to continue to fester.
Yes.
I hope I used the right word there. I think I did. But the thing about it is, he's one of these guys that's like, you know, I'm not going to sit there and just let it go on and on and on and on and not do anything about it. He is going to make sure that it's known that, hey, we have to do this different. He identifies problems quickly.
Yeah.
And I applaud him for that, because there's a lot of people in front offices that don't do that.
Okay, so Mondays he joins us at 4:20. And this week, as we're talking to him, I thought about saying, you know, in spring training, you told us that you weren't going to be patient. How much more patient are you going to be with this offense? And I think he answered that yesterday in a different interview just 24 hours later, basically. So he said swing decisions, chase rates, lack of walks. There's no doubt we're not putting enough pressure on opposing pitchers, not creating enough opportunities to score. So that's just kind of to spell out exactly what he's talking about. But I think the interesting thing is asking the question, what do you guys think drastic would mean? At 877-881-1053, if CY is going to get more drastic with trying to improve this offense, is that the pitching for hitting trade scenario? Do we have to go that far?
Yeah, well, I will say it starts with the Kennedy Landry story from yesterday, where she's talking about Monday night after before the opener of this series versus the A's. There were no Rangers hitters in the home clubhouse at Globe Life Field before Texas opened its homestand against the A's on Monday night. It's not a huge shock for the media's allotted 50 minutes. Players are often in and out with hitters or pitchers meetings or getting treatment or anything in between. But to start their 7-game homestand, the Rangers hitters had a lengthy meeting that lasted throughout the entire media clubhouse time. So they kind of had a come to Jesus meeting. This goes back to Monday night, which it didn't help the offense on Monday night. But that was kind of the collective kick in the rear end meeting, I would imagine, where it's like, hey, we got to maybe they change up some strategic things. And maybe some of it was just like putting the pressure on of like, hey, this is what you guys are going to force me to do.
Yeah.
If it's going to continue looking like this, now we get to your question of like, what were those things? I mean, some guys we're not going to see anymore.
I love the pacing of CY. Like, I want my guys to know that we're good and I believe in you. But after 5 weeks of bad offense, I got to change it up a little bit, right? And say, hey, now it's time to say, we got to do something or there is going to be consequences, and see if that changes the person into a level of urgency that spells results. And maybe that's what we got last night. I don't know if that holds, you know, but I do think like just being more patient, that shouldn't be a massive adjustment. Like, let's take more pitches. Let's stop swinging at the first thing.
Amen, dude. And you got all the walks last night. I mean, that was one of the more encouraging things, too, not just seeing the runs fill up, but also a lot of dudes getting walked.
That part, you're absolutely right. That was very encouraging. I'll tell you what gets players' attention. fire a coach, remove a coach, take a coach out, then all of a sudden those players know in that locker room that they're the reason why that guy lost his job or that gal lost their job. Remove somebody out of that group.
And yeah.
You talk about get somebody's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's a reason why, you know, they're like, hey, well, the questions will be, well, what about this? And then, hey, we're the reason why that guy lost his job. We've got to do better. You want to make accountability, you know, as a general manager, because you're not going to be able to get rid of the players. He could get rid of them in trades and things like that, but he's kind of stuck with his team right now. But if he has to make a drastic move by removing the hitting coach, then that gets everybody's attention. Not only the hitters, but everybody on the roster.
Yeah.
Like that we're the reason why that guy lost his job. And we need to do something different.
I like that idea. I think that's one you can do when you have a guy like Marcus Semien at second base who you can't trade. You know? And you can't bench.
No, you're right. That's what I'm saying. If you move on from, you know, then everybody in the room now goes, geez, we got that guy fired.
Mm-hmm.
This is on us.
Yeah.
You know, we got to do something different. You know, but they're very much, I think when you talk to CY, he's a little bit more of he's about the process and communication and, you know, and making sure that the guys have plenty of opportunity to do their jobs, and he's not going to micromanage and things, but he's the patience he has where he knows he's got a staff that can win this thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to wait around for the hitters to come around.
No, he says he's not going to wait around as long as he did last year. I feel like last year he waited the entire time and just continued to believe in him until it was too late. The Evan Grant story says they're watching Osuna and Evan Carter closely in the minors. I think Osuna's hitting around 270. Evan Carter lightened up over the last couple of weeks. But you don't have a lot of guys in the minors other than Osuna, Walcott, Carter, who have a really strong argument that they could actually help a big league team. Like, you just be hoping they get hot when they get up here. But
mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you would know they're going to cool off and maybe be a bigger liability than the guys you have up here right now. So I would be thinking about trades if you want to do something drastic. Everything else is sort of normal. We're going to fire a hitting coach. We're going to bring up some minor leaguers. We're going to bench a veteran for a day or two. You know, what actually constitutes drastic, I think, is fascinating to think about here over the next 3 months before that trade deadline.
Fire a coach, and you get everybody's attention.
For sure, yeah. Sean McFarland, Morning News, writing that of all the things that happened last night, DeGrom's start was the most encouraging. The 36-year-old, now with the 2.55 in his 15 career starts for the Rangers, his ERA now for this year is 2.73 as he hit his sixth start, which is the same number of games he was able to start in 2023. He threw 65 pitches in six innings, reached 99 miles an hour on the radar gun for the first time this season, and has had the most success he's had all year with his fastball, which he threw 34 times. He said he was flying open in his words. It impacted his ability to properly pinpoint pitches. He identified the cause when he played catch Monday and was able to implement the fix before Tuesday's start. So we might be getting set to go on a run here for DeGrom. And that's the exciting thing. Like, this pitching staff has been so good and is going to continue to be so good. All it's going to take is for this offense to get hot for 6 weeks, and you should be able to build a massive lead in the division that could carry you to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what we're all hoping for. I mean, do you feel like that was the official he's back moment for DeGrom? Is this the game we're going to look back on as the season goes on? Like, oh, yeah, that was the game where he locked in and became
especially afterwards. It's every start has been kind of a discussion of, I need to do this a little better. I need to do this.
Right, small tweaks along the way.
Now he's talking like, hey,
that was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. So I think so. Yeah. You know, and then we'll see if he can maintain that the entire season, or maybe there's going to be ups and downs. But this is exciting. And the last night will, you know, hopefully be a harbinger of things to come with the offense, you know. But right now I'm thinking, I don't know what we can expect from this offense going forward, going into tonight. Could they get shut out again? Are they going to go back to scoring one or two runs? I hope not. You know, we need to see a couple of weeks of good offense before we could, you know, even consider the possibility of a trend reversal. But in the meantime, I feel like this pitching staff is going to keep us in all these games. And that, it's almost surreal. Well, Yeah. Considering the history of this organization.
The constant going from DeGrom to Eovaldi to Malley. It's like, this is phenomenal, dude.
Yeah.
Well, give Dane Dunning some credit, too, for coming. You know, there were some struggles.
Just staying alive yesterday.
That he had some struggles there in the minor leagues. They bring him up because, you know, CY was worried about some pitch coverage that they, you know, pitcher coverage that they had. And, you know, he gets an opportunity, goes out there and gets it done. So good.
I think
for
he got a save last night.
Yeah, first career save. Yeah, three innings.
Three
innings
save, yeah.
He was up between 10 and 12 runs, and he gets one, so good for him. All right, we got, we're about, 45 minutes or so from the Expressway, and LA Live is just over an hour away now. G-Bag of the Day, 5:30. Every afternoon here on The Fan, and Jared Sandler is going to join you next to preview tonight's Rangers-A's game here that's coming up.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Next, The Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. We do have some Rangers breaking news as Jared Sandler joins us now here on The Fan. Jared, good afternoon. How the heck are you?
Guys, I'm great. Just hanging out here with Hixie and getting ready for some Rangers baseball. A little more pep in my step after that 15-run performance. Just feeling like, you know, scoring runs as possible again. Not that we, you know, actually lost hope or anything, but gosh, you know, they were just in such a run where they were having a tough time. And I think a night like last night, it doesn't guarantee anything tonight, obviously, but a night like last night just reminds you of what this lineup's capable of achieving.
I mean, the only downer is looks like my guy Dane Dunning just got DFA'd, huh?
Yeah, second time for Dane. And, you know, he pitched last night, got his first career save, but the Rangers in a tough spot with Kyle Higashioka's hamstring, you know, not 100%. They're not sure whether or not he needs to go on the IL. They want to try and avoid that if they can, but in so doing, they've got to bring up a catcher, regardless of whether he went on the IL or not. They'd have to bring up another catcher. And there's the only other catcher on the 40-man is Malcolm Moore, and he's currently on the IL in the minors dealing with a finger thing. And I'm not sure that they would want to bring him up anyway. So you got to bring someone up. They've chosen Tucker Barnhart, but now you got to make a 40-man move. And unfortunately, that's Dane Dunning.
So did Higashioka pull his hammy on that bases-clearing double?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not totally positive when or how it happened. I guess that would maybe make sense. But or, you know, it could be something that was, you know, aggravating him a little bit earlier and he woke up today and just wasn't feeling great. I'm not totally positive, but I think the Rangers are hopeful that it's not going to be super serious, just, you know, simply based on the indication he's not on the IL. And it's only a 10-day IL, so if there was any thought for sure that he would need to miss, you know, 7-8 days, then they'd probably just put him on the IL right now. But I think the fact that they haven't done that, you know, means that they're hopeful that he can stick around, and maybe it's just something that will keep him out a day or two.
Jared, at what point should we be on Evan Carter watch? Just in terms of him getting the call back up, what type of sustainability do you think they need to see before they think about bringing him back up, because he's on a nice run right now?
Yeah, and Eric, I don't know the answer to this, but I guess you could ask the question, is it more about his production or just, you know, the back and feeling good about where the back is? And, you know, because if you call him up, you know, you want to feel good about being able to play him regularly, at least against righties. But, yeah, I mean, I you know, one of the things that I've learned is sometimes, you know, you look at the numbers down there and the numbers don't always tell the whole story. You know, maybe he's getting some hits, but they're not hit hard, and so the batting average looks good, but he's, you know, he's not actually having the at-bats, or maybe it's the opposite, right? Some guys, you know, they're not hitting the ball hard, and or sorry, they are hitting the ball hard, but right to someone. So, the numbers look good. It does seem like things are going well, and, you know, ultimately I think that, you know, you're maybe looking at sooner rather than later. especially if for no other reason, Eric, I think, you know, and maybe we talked about this the other day, but Evan Carter's profile is that of a guy who is patient and takes pitches and draws walks. And that's an area in which, you know, last night notwithstanding, that has not been a source of strength for this ball club. And maybe, you know, if nothing else, to balance out the lineup and the personality of the guys that are in the lineup every day, you know, he could be an asset. Now, you're not just going to bring him up solely for that reason. You know, you want to know that he is able to help out defensively in center field, that the body is in a good spot to do this on a regular basis. And they obviously have a better idea of that. And that's not seen in the box score necessarily. But, I do think sooner rather than later. And, I think the plan when they sent him down was obviously for him to find a path to come back up. I don't think the Rangers are going to, you know, lock several doors for him to try and break through. It's not going to be like an escape room scenario. But, I think they want to feel good about where he is and make sure he's in a position to succeed.
You mentioned the plate discipline, and last night, obviously, getting 9 walks. That was fantastic. Kennedy Landry had the story about before the game on Monday night versus the A's, there was kind of a come-to-Jesus meeting with all the hitters. Do you think that was the main point of conversation? Was it the plate discipline, or was it a multitude of different things?
Yeah, I think it was a multitude of different things. I think that's probably a part of it, right? Just when you look at the data, and that's not something that is tough for anyone to look at and comprehend it. You know, it's pretty straightforward. Hey, guys, we're swinging a lot and we're chasing a lot. But, you know, it's not like these guys go into the box thinking, let's chase, you know. And so it's one thing to say it. I think it probably more about just the prep and the process and understanding that, hey, we've gotten off to a slow start. Let's hit the reset button. Let's get this done. And maybe figuring out the best way to go about this, the best way for these guys to prepare themselves every day. And just, you know, I think it probably covered a number of things from the process to just reminding guys, you know, I think the veterans speaking up, making sure the young guys hear their voice saying, it's all good. You know, hey, this is no different than any other rough stretch during the season. It's just unfortunately the beginning of the year, so we have nothing to support the numbers a little bit more, right? If this happened in July, we would just say, gosh, they're really struggling right now. But, you know, you're looking and you're seeing better numbers. And so I think that's a part of it. And just probably letting guys share their experiences and what works and going from there. But, yeah, there's no doubt that a part of just the general understanding, Eric, is that they need to be more disciplined. They need to do a better job of controlling the strike zone and putting themselves in favorable positions. And they did a great job of that last night.
Jared, when you, with DeGrom and the way that, you know, that he's had his last 6 starts, and, you know, is there talk now that he's more like the DeGrom we always thought he was going to be when he came here? I mean, it seems like a lot less. I don't even want to use the word, you know, when we start to talk about him, you know, often, you know what, because I don't want to jinx him or anything. But it seems like to me that he is that type of guy that they thought he was always going to be.
Yeah, no, I mean, what he did last night was fun. That was impressive. And, you know, the Athletics have one of the best lineups in baseball. At least, you know, that's been the case so far this year. So, you know, don't mistake that with maybe Athletics teams the last few years that have really struggled, right? You know, that's a good lineup that he diced up, and he did it so efficiently. 65 pitches, 6 innings. I mean, that's not easy to do, especially when you're striking out 7 batters. But, I think the last few starts we've seen an uptick. And remember, you know, if someone were to go and just look at the line score from his previous start, he gave up those 2 runs against the Athletics. There was a missed fly ball that was a part of it, not an error. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given up any runs, right? So, he really has looked a lot better. And, you think of how good the staff is. I mean, you got Nathan Eovaldi, who, you know, everyone knows what he can do and what he can be. And Jacob DeGrom is, you know, with each start getting closer and closer probably to where he wants to be. And then, oh, let's not forget that there's this other guy, a part of the rotation, who was leading Major League Baseball in ERA, you know, prior to his last start, in Tyler Mahle. And then we've seen, you know, already the growth of Jack Leiter. And then the guy that they signed in spring, Patrick Corbin, you know, not expected to be an all-star by any means. But, gosh, you know, I'll be damned if he hasn't given this team a chance to win every time he's taken the mound. And pitched pretty well, you know, all things considered. So they've got a great rotation, but having a guy like Jacob deGrom and then going right after that with Nathan Eovaldi is pretty formidable. And I'm excited to see deGrom pitch on Sunday because he's facing the Mariners for the second time. And, you know, it's a big weekend ahead of us. Seattle, I think, is, right. You know, as we've talked about, they're a really good team. And I've said this a number of times. Obviously, I know we've got a lot of baseball left, but I think that the Rangers and Mariners are the two best teams in the division. And, you know, I know it's April or I guess tomorrow's May, but, you know, you only play your division opponents in four separate series, 13 times. And so these games are definitely meaningful.
How do they hit Severino usually?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, Gavin, because Luis Severino is a little bit of a different pitcher. You know, as he's gotten older, he's coming off a year with the Mets, in which he pitched well. He is not the strikeout guy that he used to be in his early years with the Yankees. He was a 200 strikeout guy, you know, definitely more than a strikeout per inning. But over the course of Severino's career against the Rangers, you know, mixed results in that he's had two outlier starts that have not gone well statistically, but for the most part, he's been really good against the Rangers. But because of the smaller sample, the numbers maybe don't show the dominance he's achieved. But he's got an ERA, I think, in the mid to high threes in his career against the Rangers. But he's had a couple of outings, I think, where he's gone six, seven innings and allowed one run or maybe no run. So mixed bag, but last time the Rangers faced him last year when he was with the Mets, the Rangers dialed him up a little bit, and so hopefully they can do that again tonight.
Read in the morning news when CY tells the reporters yesterday, you were probably there, that, you know, he's on edge and rightfully so, and he was thinking about more drastic measures to get the offense going. What do you think is the most drastic thing that we could see this year?
To try and get the offense going?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, from a gimmicky, wacky standpoint, you know, I don't, maybe they're saying that they wear that kind of ties
caps.
It all. Yeah, rally caps or rally pearls, like, you know, what Jock Peterson did,
I like that.
The pearl necklace. But, you know, from an actual baseball standpoint, you know, that they've already tweaked the lineup a little bit, and I think Bruce Bochy is sensitive to not over tweaking a lineup and kind of, you know, trying to find some sort of rhythm or consistency. I just think, you know, I did a Q&A earlier today with Josh Boers, and he said something really interesting that, you know, September baseball is so much fun because if you're in the hunt, you know, stats don't matter anymore. It's just what can we do to win? And it's not that guys don't try to win right now, but there's just a heightened intensity. And, you know, you kind of simplify things a little bit, and it's not a drastic measure. It's probably not a sexy answer to your question, but I think, you know, in these situations, sometimes you hear hitters talk about just simplifying things and you know, playing small ball when there are opportunities. I'm not talking about laying down bunts, but moving a runner over and finding small wins to put yourself in a position to produce for the team and to be positive for the team. And that's not really drastic. I realize it's probably a crummy answer to your question, but that's the best I can think of from like a baseball standpoint. Unless like Boch were to draw names out of a hat for a lineup, but I don't think he's going to do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued by you know what CY might have in mind because he later said that he's not going to be patient like he was last year. So I'm like, man, I wonder how CY is taking all this in. All right, we're going to get Corey Seager this weekend.
I hope so. I apologize. I don't know the exact date he's eligible. I think it's Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. So that'd be great to get him back. You know, I think all signs right now are pointing towards a quick return, whether it's Saturday or Sunday. And the only thing with the off day Monday, you know, it's possible that the Rangers, you know, maybe give him that extra few days and let him start on the road. You know, Corey's not a guy that typically needs a rehab assignment, so you don't have to worry about him, you know, playing in a rehab game and then maybe giving him a day off before he, you know, really ramps it up. So I don't know that we know for sure. I do think that there's a good chance that we do see him this weekend against the Mariners.
Thank you, Sands. Have a great night. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Thanks, Phil.
There he goes. Yeah, he's able to something. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter, a Rangers insider and expert. And, yes, Corey Seager is eligible to return on May 3rd. Which is Saturday. What are we doing next, Chief?
Sounds of the Sports Day. New Mad Dog just dropped, and we grade the game-winning call next year in the nation.
And Sandler brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. We're back with those Sounds of the Sports Day next in the nation.